No. And we now move on to public questions. The first question is from Charlotte Woodbridge. Could you, if you come forward and press the little button in front. Asim?
On behalf of Extinction Rebellion Harrow, I would like to ask the following question. We commend the Harrow Council's declaration of climate emergency of July last year, but note that there has not yet been an update of the Council's climate change strategy since the emergency declaration was made, nor any detail on how these changes will be funded. Taking into account the new commitment to achieve a carbon neutral borough by 2030, rather than the previous target of 2050, we request details of what deliverables have been defined and how, stroke when, they are planned for implementation, and if these deliverables have yet to be defined, when does the Council plan to do this? And that was to Marsha.
Sorry, could you just switch the light for a minute? Excellent, thank you. One at a time. No, you can stay there because you've got your supplementary question.
Thank you for your question. It is wonderful to see that many people are interested in, you know, about making this world a better place, and obviously Harrow as well. At the moment, we are currently aiming to report to Cabinet in March with a draft strategy and key actions to work towards the carbon neutrality as an organisation, along with some initial recommendations for the borough as a whole. If we are able to be successful, then it will require commitment and significant funding from central government and the active participation of all our partners and local residents. We would be very pleased to engage and work with committed Harrow residents in order to share ideas as to how the council and communities can work together to build a more sustainable and resilient Harrow in response to the climate emergency. The Council has convened both officer and member-led working groups to develop a long-term strategic response to the emergency. Our initial work has identified several key themes around which action must be taken. These include locally produced green energy, used efficiently, changing the way we live and consume goods, and services in order to minimise waste at source, the development of sustainable local transport options, and change to the way that we develop and use land in the borough. So there is lots of different things going on.
Okay. Have you considered the use or the setting up of a citizens' assembly so that you can, you know, so that it can be not scientifically, but well organised in terms of getting local representation to help you in deciding what the best things are for this?
Like I said, that we are very much, you know, want to involve everyone, so yes, we would be looking into that and hopefully, you know, involve you guys to work with us.
Thank you. Nigel, do you have question number two? I think you've also...
I'm a member of...
And I think you're also asking question number three, so you do number two first.
Just begin with a short apology. The chair of HAG, having actually was going to ask the next question, is stuck in the tab lock somewhere in the borough because the lifts are not working.
Declaration of
one moment, Nigel. Sorry, one moment. We've got a declaration of
interest. I'm the trustee of HAG, actually.
Okay, the notes that trustee. And Jean as well.
I'm a friend of HAG.
Nigel, can you ask? They're all noted. Nigel, do you want to ask question number two?
Harrow Association for Disabled People welcomes draft proposals to set a balanced budget in 2021, subject to consultation. We recognise that Tory austerity since 2010 continues and that disabled people have been hit very hard by austerity. This was highlighted by the May 2019 United Nations report that said disabled people were being driven to breaking point. We think Harrow Council cuts to disabled people's services have been counterproductive, leading to higher homelessness and residential care costs as independent living is undermined by those cuts. Before Harrow Council cut all funding to HAD Welfare Benefits Service in 2017, we brought in around 1.2 million a year into some of the poorest households in the borough. Since the cuts, the number of people taking up the welfare benefits service has reduced, and since we introduced charges to try and balance some of the cost to the organisation, the number has reduced still further, but demand remains incredibly high. We note that Harrow Council continues to refer disabled people on a daily basis to HAD, despite the fact that Harrow Council doesn't fund any welfare benefits service. Now, over the last 2 years, it's cost HAD £92,000 to make up the cost of the welfare benefits service because of lost income from the council. And this year, we're projecting we'll earn £40,000 on the welfare benefits service. We're going to make that up from some legacy money left to us. It struck me that the council's cuts are undermining HAD's financial position whilst we struggle to provide services to some of the most disabled people in the borough. So I would like to ask the council to amend its investment proposals for 2021, set up on page 20 of the report, by reducing the seven areas of extra spend by £5,000 each and allocate that £35,000 to HAD to fund its welfare benefits service, recognising that if the benefits service can be retained, and we can in fact expand that benefits service, and it's a no cost to HAD, that it will actually lead to well over £1.2 million a year coming to the borough into some of the poorest households. Thank you.
Thank you, Nigel, for the question. So I'm allowed to say Councillor Long, it's always good to have you in this venue tonight. And you know, thank you also for the comments you made about recognising the cuts and the impact of the cuts over the past decade. On the council and residents, and you mentioned the UN report in your question, and I think that's a really important report for everyone to be very conscious of. And also, obviously, to say how much we've all appreciated what HAD has done for disabled people in the borough. And you can see that you've got many friends of HAD on the cabinet and indeed in the opposition here tonight. With regards to the budget, tonight's budget is a draft budget, and we welcome all consultation responses, so I'm very much looking forward to reading the response from HAD, from others that that you potentially work with to submit a response. And you'll be aware that information and advice, particularly around welfare benefits, is a really important topic. Very exciting noises. It's really important to the administration, and that's why we made sure, good 2-3 years ago, that instead of funding information and advice from piecemeal sources, we were able to bring some of that money together as part of information and advice strategy and service that came out of that. But now is a good time to have a look at our information and advice strategy again. And so as part of your submission to the budget consultation, but also no doubt as part of the discussions that hopefully we'll have with yourselves and with others in the voluntary sector and in Harrow more widely, around the information advice needs in the borough, we can all come to the right answer about how to meet the needs of residents.
Did you have a supplementary question?
Yes, a very, very short one. Basically, and I thank you for those comments, Adam, thank you. Basically, I would like you to guarantee that the option that we're putting forward tonight, both for this first question and second question, could be part of the council's consultation with the public. So the public gets the chance to balance your proposals against, shall we say, HAD's proposals, and see what the public says about the cutting of the welfare benefit service.
So I think our approach to the consultation over the past few years really has been to keep it fairly open-ended, and so we welcome very much your response, members of the public's responses, and we can then look and see if people are coming back and demanding a particular service, then obviously we can weight that in how we tackle the consultation responses. But as I say, we do have this opportunity, and I really hope that that you'll take us up on the offer to meet with officers in the council, to meet with ourselves as part of a review, and Councillor Anderson, and it will be involved as part of a review of information and advice in the borough, because I think that is a really good opportunity to specifically on this issue, as opposed to kind of getting lost in the budget as a whole, specifically on this issue to get the right answer over the next year, 18 months.
Come back now, you've got question number 3.
Thank you. With thought this follow-up question ought to pick up the fact that we weren't expecting you to say, yes, here's the money. So we thought we'd be ever so helpful and basically give you a second area within your budget that we think you can make some savings on. So, for example, in Annex 1C, unique reference COM G10, you're putting £500,000 more into the cleaning of buildings in the borough, cleaning off council buildings in the borough. And because we're reasonable people, we think, instead of putting £500,000 into the cleaning of those council buildings, why not put £465,000 in and give Had £35,000? So, as I say, as a reasonable person with a Clapham omnibus, and I think a person who's in touch with the public, I think the public would say, don't spend £500,000 on cleaning, put some of it into welfare benefits. Thank you.
Thank you for your view. Did you want to respond to the view?
Absolutely. I think you and Jonathan Swift, with your very modern proposals, would easy. How can you resist? No, I think it's a very valid point to challenge us on the spending decisions we've made. What I'd absolutely assure you about is that we're not choosing to spend £500,000 more on cleaning. What we've done as part of this budget, which I'll talk about later tonight, is to recognise some of the cost pressures that we're facing as a council, trying to make sure that we don't end up, and Councillor Almond has enjoyed coming to cabinet meetings in the summer of the last couple of years and saying to me, how did you just set a budget in February and then by summer you're already telling me that you're overspending all these items? What we're trying to get in the position is where we've got the budget at the right level that reflects what, not new spending unfortunately, but what we're already spending, and then being in a position where actually those are exactly the kind of costs that we want to try and tackle. But clearly there is a basic amount that we do have to spend on things like cleaning, and I promise you we'll not be paying more than we need to.
Thank you for that, very briefly. Yes, thank you for that, Adam. I mean, I think what the two examples tonight show is that there is plenty of room within the budget to do things differently. So we will pick up your challenge to make a detailed submission, and I hope what will come out of that is recognition that funding the Welfare Benefits Service might be a best use of money, and I think will be counterproductive to continue to not fund that service. So thank you very much for your answers tonight. We will come back to you on the budget. Thank you.
And can I all just say in response to your supplementary that I always welcome the fact that Hadley comes to these meetings and makes the case for its services, because that is such an important function of what the Welfare Service is all about. So thank you for coming to us.
Right, with regard to question four, it was about misinterpretation of a question, really, and the council has apologised and written back to Mr. Stoker, and he's accepted the response that's now been emailed to him. So it's just a misinterpretation about the question. So we now move on.